previously on Compassion Radio.
And he said he was outside and he heard some sirens and said he always prays when he hears sirens. Now, a few minutes later, the neighbors arrived at the door and said, "Y'all need to come with us." And so there were no details at that point, but and I hadn't heard the sirens, but just the tone in their voice, I knew something was happening.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the front lines of faith, abroad and at home, this is the daily radio journal that tells the breakthrough story hiding in every dark corner. This is Compassion Radio. Thanks for listening, friend. Every single one of us has a story to share, whether it's of heartbreak and tragedy, to the joy of breakthrough and triumph, and everything in between. Today, our host and president, Bram Floria, is back to conclude with the third and final conversation with a longtime family friend, Leanne Lynham. And her story has been a unique one, to say the least. If you missed any part of Monday or Tuesday, carve out some time to visit us at CompassionRadio.com and click to listen to the podcast. You will be so glad you did. Here now, we join Leanne as she describes the aftermath of her daughter Abby's terrible car accidents and the following recovery time.
So we were in the intensive care unit there in Austin for 3 weeks, and then Abby was transferred to a rehabilitation hospital in San Antonio. So at this time, she was technically awake, her eyes were open, but she wasn't responding to us at all. So friends, though, would come by and see her, even though there was nothing that Abby could do to respond to them. Just speaking to her, holding her hand, painting her nails, doing her hair, things like this that showed that there was they wanted to be connected to Abby. And so I think that was actually the hardest time. I did wrestle with God when she was in ICU, and I did say, you know, God, I don't know if we can make this if she doesn't wake up, if she doesn't make it. And I really begged and pleaded. But then we got to a point that was almost more difficult.
I remember us talking and praying over that time about praying with expectancy that she's there, that God has a reason for her to wait, right, and that we need to speak and pray for her as if that prayer has been answered, that she's conscious again.
Right.
And not to be afraid to pray bold prayers over
right.
the child.
Right. And, you know, during that time, I learned to just, in making my way through it and in imagining everything that possibly could happen, I just learned to pray that each day was what it needed to be.
Yes.
Because I couldn't see a recovery in the tiny steps that were being taken, but I just prayed that each day I could make it through, and that each day for her, what was happening needed to happen, even if I couldn't measure it. And that's the only way that I could go forward from there, was to just try to beg for one day at a time to be right. And I felt like I wasn't confident in my faith in terms of knowing that God would bring us through all of this and that everything would be okay, so to speak. But His presence was still there, and that was still evident.
Yeah.
I have a coworker who is not a professing Christian. She's sensitive to spiritual things, but she didn't grasp belief in the same way I did. And she said to me sometime during that really critical period that, "I can see that your faith is helping you guys make it through." And so it wasn't a professed statement. It was more that the demeanor that we could maintain was a gift, and that helped us each day.
Peace that passes understanding.
Yeah.
And I think that phrase doesn't mean that it's going to be abundant and huge and overwhelming.
And that you testify to it at every moment.
No. Yeah. But that it's something undergirding enough you can't even feel how it lifts you up from the mire. When things would be so much deeper, somehow His peace lifts us to a place of enough.
Right. And I learned to, only later as I processed all this, I began to understand that must be how God works with each of us if we seek it. Because along the way, we met families of children in ICU whose children didn't make it.
Right.
And yet they were able to claim that, you know, God had seen them through. And so I think that that's what we as Christians can claim to, is that he may not always work it out to our preference, but that he will give us what is needed in that circumstance.
And as severe as it seems, even a tragedy, that God will bring glory to himself.
Yeah.
And that somehow that actually benefits us.
Right, right. That it can make our lives meaningful in a way that we never imagined before.
Yeah. Now, let's turn the page then to the post-rehab time. It, you know, went longer than expected.
Yes.
Things didn't progress the way you expected them to progress, but there was a rebirth of sorts.
Yes.
So tell us about that process.
Well, Abby spent about 10 weeks in rehab, the rehab facility. And as I mentioned, it was very, very slow there. And for the longest time, she couldn't say anything. And I remember the day that the speech therapist kept working with her on just kind of guttural sounds. And all at once, there were words. And she spoke. And I was with her during that therapy while my husband was meeting with some of his coworkers there at the rehab facility. And this is another way in which community really surrounded us, was that what we couldn't join in just came to us a lot of times. And so we went racing around the facility in the wheelchair saying, say hi, Dad. And when we finally found them, she said, hi, Dad. But and actually her first word, even prior to that, prior to sort of being able to initiate, was we spent Thanksgiving in the rehab facility. And our families arranged to bring all the food there to the rehab facility, and we had friends from out of town who were in. It grew into a great, wonderful gathering. There was another woman who was there with her young daughter who had experienced a drowning accident. Mm. And her daughter was a little behind in recovery from where Abby was, and all along the way she kept asking us, was your daughter ever like this? Was your daughter ever like this? And we could say yes. And that's a big part in which God, a big way in which God will use these experiences, is that you can then be that reassurance to somebody that you never could have before without being through this.
And I'll reiterate that, because we are in the business of telling stories and helping people share them.
Yeah.
Your story matters.
Yeah.
And it mattered to this lady.
Right, it did.
I know that people listening to this program now don't realize that what they have experienced is God speaking his grace to others. If you're a disciple of Christ and you go through something, God gave you that story.
Right.
And he can, if you're willing, use it to help somebody else along the path.
That's right.
And you were just a few days ahead of this other girl's
We were. Now, and we can still stay in touch with that family. And now the girl's mother and all her sisters have gone to school to become occupational therapy assistants.
Amazing.
So that they can, and so it changed their lives, literally.
But, so faith was like two steps ahead.
That's right. Yeah. But back to, she joined us for this Thanksgiving meal. And at this Thanksgiving meal, we were all gathered around. And this was, I guess, about 7 weeks after the accident, and Abby still had not spoken a word, but somebody offered the prayer for the Thanksgiving meal, and at the end people repeated amen, and that was Abby's first word, was she repeated amen. And so a very, very significant in terms of how faith would help bring her through all this as well. So we arrived home about 3 months after the accident, and Abby was still not prepared to go back to regular school. We were doing outpatient therapy. She was getting special education instruction in the home. And there were hard moments.
Yes.
And I want to tell people that, because that people often say, y'all were such an example, but I need to testify that there were moments when I still said, God, it isn't fair. You know, she can't do any of the things that she used to do, and she's not going to play softball this year, and she's going to, you know, lose a year of school, and I don't even know if she will be surrounded by the same group of friends down the line, and it's okay. We cried out, and he would reassure us in those moments and bring us along one day at a time still. That was happening that way. So that whole seventh grade year of Abby's was spent in that state of not knowing how far she would come. But she had learned to walk. She had learned to run. The day she picked up a book and started reading again, we were thrilled. There was the night she finally had a dream she could remember. Even that is something that's significant
when it
comes to brain injury. And so slowly, very slowly, she was coming back to us. And, you know, I said it was like a flower, you know, a bud unfolding, you know, that you get to see a little bit each day of what she's going to be again.
And like you mentioned when we talked about your previous experience with the Pi Gospel story, shards, God gathering up pieces and assembling them.
Right.
So I think about that flower picture maybe even being like stained glass.
Right.
Things got broken first to be able to create the art.
That's exactly right.
Beautiful illustration there by Bram Floria on today's Compassion Radio. And we'll get right back to the program in just a moment. If you missed any section of this incredible three-part series, be sure to catch it on podcast when you visit CompassionRadio.com. Listen on demand whenever it's convenient for you. Now, here's a quick update from Bram.
Thank you so much for making it possible for us to finish well in 2017. Because of you, we're completing 74 years of continuous ministry. Because of you, more people are hearing this daily broadcast than ever before, all across the United States. Because of you, new works of God in new places are now known here in the West, challenging the body of Christ to engage in the great work of completing the Great Commission. Because of you, we've gone to get the story of God's work right in the center of the world's most dangerous and threatened places. Because of you, persecuted believers in dozens of countries now know that they are not forgotten. If you've received any inspiration from Compassion Radio, if you've ever been challenged or moved by what you've heard here, if you've ever wanted to play even a small part in reaching the world for Christ and bringing it closer together, then please join us in this work today. Even a monthly gift of $18 in 2018 would make it possible for us to survive and thrive this year and in the years to come. But truly, it begins today. Bless you, friends, and thank you for taking this challenge seriously and courageously.
Thanks, Bram. You can reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770. Orange, California, 92859. And 24/7, you'll find us on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Now, let's get back to the program.
Later, I'll jump ahead in the stories a little bit.
Yeah.
I was privileged to be able to teach your daughter in high school as she was getting ready to graduate. And we talked a lot about communication during that year, about how to assemble things into stories that matter, that people can understand and follow. And she was, by that point, much more expressive and able to go back into her experience to be able to speak about it and share it. And she was budding very fast, even in front of me. And I was thrilled to be able to see that progress, but I was honored, of course, to be just part of it.
Right.
And because our kids have known each other all those years.
Right.
And to see not just the healing in her body, but the resurrection of her spirit and be able to confess the doubts and the struggle of faith she had and the depression that usually goes along with those kind of head injuries.
Right.
And her being able to give voice to that was an important thing.
Right.
I wouldn't say it was beautiful because it wasn't, but what she was able to communicate was honest.
Right.
And it helped others.
Right.
So tell me more about this process of coming out of rehab and back into life.
Well, it was hard. And Abby is strong, and she is sometimes stoic, almost, it seems. And she is optimistic. And I think that resilience and optimism is what enabled her to go through some things that were very, probably harder than we ever realized in terms of the feelings and the frustrations that she was dealing with. But along the way, I know that there was ways in which God was even opening the door for her to use what she'd been through. As she got to her senior year, she finally was ready to sort of tell her story about what had happened, and she actually prepared a presentation that she shared in several environments about this experience and about not giving up and not and knowing that you're not alone. And she testifies to wanting to give up and really audibly hearing God say, no, you should not give up. But there were other little ways too. She used to play the violin, classical violin. And she still had the knowledge of it when she came out of the, or as she was recovering from the accident, but she was left with a tremor in her right hand that kept her from using a bow very effectively. And at the same time, I could see she was dealing with frustrations, and I said, well, Abby, you know that our church needs a bass guitar player. And so she picked up the bass guitar. And she, I know many people will testify to her worship evident in the way she plays the guitar and shares in music services like that. She hadn't really decided firmly on a career when she was, before the accident. She was kind of interested in maybe veterinary medicine. She really liked animals, and she was bright and got kind of top grades. It would have probably opened up those professional schools to her. But after the accident, she had to work harder than average in terms of moving into college level work. But at the same time, she had changed her focus and knew she wanted to be an encouragement to people who also had suffered loss and who were seeking to regain abilities. And she actually made an attempt at occupational therapy assistant school herself and found that some of the limitations she still struggled with just made that beyond her reach, but discovered the field of therapeutic recreation and has worked now in several settings with adults and young people with disabilities and knows now that that's her calling. So I don't think she would even been drawn to those therapeutic fields, perhaps, if she had not gone through this experience.
It's important for us to remember that a loss is often God's tool to steer us in the things that we would never have considered.
Right, or at least as Joseph said, you know, the things that we would have imagined for evil, not that God intended them for evil, but the things that we would have imagined for a loss, he has a way to bring something out of them.
God has intentions for how to redeem the circumstances, not just the person. But that redemption is a worldview thing. Yeah. Your daughter is now flourishing and living within a redemptive worldview that God redeemed me from the pit.
Right.
He's using me to help redeem the world for his family, for his cause, for his kingdom.
Right.
And she's pursuing these new opportunities she had not considered before, right, based on some limitations, closing some doors, and right, redirecting her passion other ways. What is she doing now?
Well, she just earned her associate's degree in therapeutic recreation from Austin Community College. Mm-hmm. I admire that girl's work ethic so much. And she recently just was offered a job with New Braunfels Parks and Recreation Department. Mm-hmm. So she'll be working with some of their recreation programs, but having the opportunity to develop some programming for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. She'd love to work in a special education setting in schools to help children who face learning disabilities and feel frustrated by that and left out find their own way to be successful.
Amen to that. Now, I've heard a lot of stories, even from some of our listeners in Compassion Radio, that it was something about a loss that opened their hearts to compassion for the first time, that people don't tend to be as empathetic for those who are struggling with things if they've never struggled. You know, sometimes God literally has to humble us in order to exalt himself in us. And I'm not just talking about physical infirmities or things, but all kinds of things can come at us that God will use the hard way, not just to teach us a lesson intellectually, but to open our hearts up for the kind of life he wants to flow out of us. So I'm grateful that your family stood around Abby in every way imaginable and brought the circle of community and faith around her so that she always knew that she wasn't at the center, but that people had gathered around her.
Right.
Jesus really is at the center of all this. And in doing this work of circling around each other for the purpose of prayer and faith and healing, it honors God, and it builds the family, and it builds our faith. And often it actually produces answers of prayer that are miraculous.
Right. Yes, and we experienced that. You know, I mentioned the young woman who just was at the hospital every day. As things progressed, there were families that would just say that, you know, one night a week was their night. They were going to come bring the meal to us and enjoy the meal with us and with Abby. And so there are many ways in which we can ask God, how can I be that community? Because we can't change people's circumstances. I mean, we pray, mm-hmm. but we can't restore to them on our own what was lost.
No.
But we can surround them so that they know that they're surrounded by people who are lifting them up to God.
And sometimes we get to be the witness of God's
right.
answering of that prayer.
Right.
And bringing that which was impossible to us.
Right.
So this story, Leanne, is a powerful one because many people have lived it like you have,
right.
and they haven't been able to share that story. But
right.
I believe you speak for a number of people who are probably listening to this program today about the power of faith, steady faith, repetitive, persistent faith, and the kind of fruit it produces, not just in answering the specific prayer for your daughter's life and survival, but for the flourishing and the rebirth, the resurrection life flowing up within her and within the community of people that are watching this together, this witness cloud around us.
Right. Yes, and in fact, I think that is the greatest testimony of it, because we struggled when we knew people's prayers weren't answered in the way that they really sought. And yet, we can trust that God even is present in those circumstances, and that that we can go to him and that he can make something out of everything it is that we've been through. And so that's the message that we try to take to them, because I don't presume to know everyone's story
No.
intimately, but I can tell them that he will be there and that from the ashes he can make something new. And so,
and we give people courage to tell their stories so that we can either mourn with them or celebrate with them, pray with them, expect better things. When you tell a story, you open up the possibility of God
right.
doing something.
Right.
So I would encourage our listeners not to be afraid to share your story
right.
in ways that bring God glory. And it's not about perfecting your story. It's about perfecting your dependence upon him by saying,
right.
there's nothing else I can do but
right.
appeal to the Lord of heaven to come to my aid and be my Savior. And in that process, glorify himself through me.
Right.
There are lots of those kind of stories out there, Leah.
There are.
And thank you for sharing yours with us on Compassion Radio.
You're welcome.
Well, Leanne may be a longtime friend of Bram's family, but we can now call her friend to the Compassion Radio family as well. What a journey filled with varying emotions over the last few days as Leanne has shared her stories with us. When you tell a story, you open up the possibility of God doing something. The power of steady, persistent faith, and the kind of fruit it produces. Truly living what Bram called the resurrection life. Be sure to go back and catch the podcast of this show and encourage someone else to do the same. All of our shows are loaded right there online at CompassionRadio.com. Here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
In just a few more days, we'll begin our 75th year of ministry, which, when you think of it, is an astounding achievement in broadcasting. It's also a testament to the generations of faithful partnership that has truly changed the world. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to lead this ministry in a new era, a new century, and new generations of listening activist partners. In the days and weeks ahead, we'll be sharing some incredible new projects and initiatives that are going to have a profound and lasting effect on the body of Christ around the world. What is in the works is going to seriously amaze some of our most loyal supporters and inspire a whole new level of compassionate action and ministry. All of these things are directly related to the faithful support of partners, and that means you. Would you consider a special anniversary gift to the Lord for the work of Compassion Radio this month? Even today, we have a truly unique mandate, you know this, to connect you with the work and witness of the worldwide kingdom of God. We're not just one agency doing good work in one place. We're the eyes and ears of the church in every corner of the globe. We bring you kingdom news that can transform your life, but we can only get those stories and bring them to you if you send us. Thank you for remembering us today with your special gifts and offerings. They are essential to our current work and to the future of Compassion Radio. Please give as generously as you can, and please do it today. And I can say with confidence of years witnessing this myself, God is truly pleased when we reach out and reach deep. God bless you, friends. Jimmy has some info on the unique and special thank you this month for your gift of support.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.